In the United States, we have a robust litigation system, as you might have heard. And litigation is expensive, another truth that gets a lot of media attention. For the most part in the U.S., both plaintiffs and defendants bear their own costs of litigation. There are some statutory exceptions, but generally each party has to pay its own way, whether that party is a big corporation or little old you. In fact, most personal injury plaintiffs don't have the resources to pay to sue big tort defendants, hoping for an eventual payout, whether in a single case or in a class action stemming from the same negligent action or defective product. For those cases, we allow lawyers to pay these costs up front and forgo payment until the end of the litigation, taking instead a percentage of any recovery or contingent fee. This ensures that injured claimants are able to bring suit to be compensated regardless of personal wealth and that bad tortfeasors don't escape liability. However, much has been written about the strange incentives of contingency fees and the perverse incentives they create for attorneys to either settle or not at various stages of the litigation, sometimes in conflict with what a rational plaintiff would choose. Commentators also argue that the level of litigation is just too high and that contingency fees encourage unethical attorneys to bring nuisance suits that deep-pocket companies settle for very little, plus attorneys' fees. The everyone pays their own costs rule is known as the American rule. A different rule, called the English rule, is that the loser pays. Yes, if a plaintiff brings a lawsuit and loses, the plaintiff then must pay the defendant's costs of litigation. And if the plaintiff wins, then the losing defendant must pay the plaintiff's litigation costs. The English rule may change some of the incentives to bring lawsuits, doubling the cost of bringing an unsuccessful suit. The American rule also applies to lawsuits brought by shareholders against the corporate boards of directors for breaches of fiduciary duty to the corporation. In these cases, the directors have made a decision that is a bad one for the company and its shareholders, either because the decision was grossly negligent or represented a conflict of interest, or both. The harm is to the corporation, so any recovery goes back into company coffers, but shareholders are the only party to enforce these duties, so they're the ones that have to bring suit. Plaintiff attorneys agree to take these cases and front the costs on condition that they are repaid out of any settlement. Recently, the Delaware Supreme Court held that a Delaware corporation could enact a bylaw that required any shareholder bringing a suit against the board of directors to pay the litigation costs of the board if the shareholder was unsuccessful. The English loser pays rule has come to Delaware. Of course, there are various arguments on whether a loser pays bylaw is a great idea. Theoretically, such a bylaw would deter shareholders from bringing breach of fiduciary duty lawsuits, further insulating boards of directors from their own poor decisions. Directors already face very few successful lawsuits due to procedural and substantive obstacles in the law, and a loser pays bylaw would just increase the free rein that directors enjoy with other people's money. However, some critics argue that bylaws are necessary to deter nuisance suits that plaintiffs' lawyers know have little chance of success on the merits, but a nuisance settlement value. Over half of all publicly held corporations are incorporated in Delaware, so how many companies will enact these bylaws will be an interesting statistic to watch. Perhaps shareholders of public corporations might protest against these provisions, including large institutional shareholders, convincing U.S. companies not to rush to adopt new bylaws. Or boards may adopt them as a matter of course. This is Christine Hurt.